This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the Right Side Radio. Happy Saturday, folks. You know, you've been hearing about Baltimore and all the fun stuff there. The big distraction, as usual. I'm not going to talk a lot about Baltimore in this show. We're going to kind of see how things shape out there. I am going to point out to you what is the biggest part of that story, which really isn't being covered by the mainstream media. But I am going to talk about all the things that that story is, shall we say, blasting off the news waves so you don't hear about it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot going on other than Baltimore, folks. There's been stuff going on with immigration. There's been stuff going on with North Korea supplying all sorts of goodies to Iran. And, of course, the escapades of Iran. And there's been lots going on, not only with the Clinton foundations. Did you know that there's now 13 more that they've uncovered? That's right. Not just one, 13. And you wouldn't even believe who they're in bed with in some of these. It's really quite remarkable. Although when it comes to the Clintons, nothing is remarkable. The Clintons are, shall we say, in a league of their own. Crooks and traitors and liars and greedy. Just kind of, you know, the perfect thing. You know, where a Barack Obama is driven by ideology and a hatred of America, a hatred of the colonial powers, a dislike of what he considers to be a racist society, reparations. I mean, that's what he's driven by. Oh, and, of course, his love of Islam. But the Clintons are amoral. That's a whole different thing. They don't care about the United States, one way or the other. They care about money, and they care about power. They care about greed. A whole different set of motivations. Same result. If the Clintons and the Democratic Party get power for 8 more years, we're probably done. She's already sold us down the river in all sorts of ways. Iran, Russia, the Mideast, Libya. And of course, she erases her emails. The emails, you understand, are the linkage between all these things. The written understandings of quid pro quo. Saudi Arabia, you give me $25 million and I'll do this. Iran, you give me X and I'll do this. Yeah, two different animals, same result. America suffers. You and I and our families suffer. Neither one of these people care, just for different reasons. And we're going to talk about how some of that influence is not only through the Clintons and the State Department and the government, and we've talked about that, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood in the White House being paid for by taxpayer dollars. Oh, it's much deeper than that. Wait till we get into it in this show. I do have a fun little thing, though, to start with. Well, by the way, we're going to be talking about, you ever hear about the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, the supposed free trade agreement that Barry wants to foist upon us to create jobs and opportunity and all those wonderful things, lift up the middle class, you know? Get people educated so that they can keep their jobs from illegal immigrants that he's allowing in the country. Look, you think there's a coincidence that he's gearing up the TPP, which, by the way, he wants full authority to fast-track without congressional approval? Big surprise. And the Asian Central Bank is now starting? Go back to my last few shows, listen to them. China, Russia, all our European allies. One big fat attack on the dollar, one big fat boost for the yuan as a reserve currency of the world. Well, anyway, we'll be talking about that. It'll be an eye-opener for you. First of all, though, you know, a show or two ago, I talked about Barry in an interview talking about how releasing the five generals of the Taliban was just a simple thing that all presidents did at the end of wars, like Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, except all those presidents were dead at the end of wars, so they couldn't do it, and George Washington wasn't president until many years after the Revolutionary War, so he certainly didn't do it. There was one thing I left out. You got a kind of a kick about this. In a subsequent interview, this is about 2 weeks ago, actually it was longer than that, it was Super Bowl Sunday, Obama's being interviewed. Do you remember that interview where he was in the kitchen, you know, the President of the United States, in the kitchen with the, I forget which channel it was, but he is leaning against the counter and he says smugly, "Wow, you know, George Washington drank beer in the White House when he was president. They were sipping on some beers." Guess what, folks? George Washington never lived in the White House. The White House wasn't built when George Washington was president. Now, this is the guy we have as president of the United States. He doesn't know the most basic facts about American history. I wonder if Valerie Jarrett is a right-hand person. Knows anything about the facts of American history. Or maybe she's an expert on Iranian history, Persian history, since she was born in Tehran, Iran. Anyway, I digress. That's just one of the little things, you know, the TPP and what's going on with immigration and the influence of Arab and Islamic forces far beyond Hillary that's been kind of pushed off the front pages by Baltimore. We also have the antics of Iran. We're going to talk a little bit about that. You know, the cargo ship, the Ayatollah. Oh, and the Ayatollah's comments on Baltimore. They're pretty funny. And you know what else has been pushed off the front page? The resumption of bombings by Saudis and the Sunnis in Yemen. You know, they stopped, if you remember, when we sent our little flotilla over there, meaning nothing, when the so-called convoy, the Iranian convoy of ships, supposedly carrying arms to the Shiites, the Houthis in Yemen, was on the way. Maybe they were stepping back to see what was going to happen. Maybe Obama lied to them like he usually does. Who knows? But in the end, because we did nothing, they resumed their bombing. There are no coincidences. And you know what else was pushed off the front page? Did you know that the economy grew at 0.2%? That's 0.2% in the first quarter. Great economic recovery got going, huh, folks? Great. And did you know that rent is now equal to between 1/3 and 1/2 of many people's income? These are the very people that Barry and Hillary say they want to help. Except it's their policies that have created this mess, where people are spending 50% of their monthly income on rent. Particularly people at the lower spectrum of the economic ladder. Exactly the people who can't afford it. Do you really think they care? Let's face it, they don't. So let's talk a little bit more in depth on some of these fun subjects that Baltimore has become kind of the diversion for, shall we? First of all, Baltimore itself. The real story in Baltimore, I mean, there's many stories in Baltimore, but the real story in Baltimore, and it was quickly hushed, you only heard like a whisper and then it was gone, is Barry called the mayor of Baltimore, who, by the way, is third-ranking person in the Democratic National Committee. Remember, it's not the Democratic Party anymore. It is the Progressive Party, spelled communist. And the mayor, young black woman of Baltimore, was told by Barry to kind of go easy on these demonstrations which were about to erupt. Gee, I wonder how Barry knew that. And she did, in fact, tell the police to stand down. Then, when there was a furor over the 144 businesses that got burned out and the old folks' home that got burned out, but you know they can afford it. They're the enemy, right? They're the working folks. When the police weren't allowed to do anything, police got injured, people lost their entire life's work, the community lost jobs. Think about all those people that were working there in a distressed, an economically distressed community that no longer have work. When there was a huge uproar over that, the mayor suddenly said, oh, you know, I really didn't say that, and she danced. I don't know if you saw the interviews. And then we come to find out that the state's attorney, her husband is on the city council, which means there's direct liaison with the mayor. And then the state's attorney, of course, comes up with her indictments of the six cops. You know, and then Al Sharpton, this is the one that kind of brings a full circle. Al Sharpton has been to the White House more than 100 times. I mean, Al Sharpton has been sent up by the White House as their spokesman to rabble-rouse and keep the fires of division stirred because it's good for politics. It's also a Saul Alinsky tactic of the progressive left. And who arrives? Who arrives in Baltimore but Al Sharpton? And who does he go to immediately? The mayor. And who does he protect with both rhetoric and actually his physical presence when reporters try and question her, but the mayor? You think Al was sent by the president? So the president can kind of sit up there and call people thugs, and then Al kind of carries the water, if you know what I'm saying? Remember, Al owes $4.5 million in back taxes to the federal government. How come Al isn't in jail? Kind of a set of interesting points, is it not? You bet it is. And we have Iran. Let's get into the detail of what's been, shall we say, off the front pages in terms of Iran, which, of course, the president's delighted at because that keeps the American public diverted from is paving the way for Iran to get the bomb, quite intentionally. Let's see, Iran has taken over a cargo ship which was flagged in the Marshall Islands. The Marshall Islands is the United States protectorate. We are bound to protect them. We did nothing. Sent a destroyer there, just kind of hung around. Now they're keeping the cargo ship because they want some money for something that happened, you know, 2 decades ago with the Marshall Islands shipping company. I mean, who knows? It's all made up crap. And the Ayatollah has been ranting and raving about the destruction of Israel and death to America and yada yada. And he offered his opinion on Baltimore, talking about the terrible and terrorizing police state that is America. I mean, really, you gotta laugh at this stuff, you know? Really? Except we won't be laughing and it won't be a laughable matter when they get the bomb, folks. Trust me. Which is the intent. And then, of course, the Saudis, you haven't heard nothing about this, have resumed bombing along with Egypt, etc., in Yemen. And then, of course, we have this economic news, which has been totally buried by Baltimore and the furor, if you will, that's been stirred up by the progressives there. And then on the immigration front, you know what else has been covered up by Baltimore? Wow. a report that the Obama administration has issued more than 500,000 new Social Security numbers to illegal immigrants that were granted amnesty under Obama's Deferred Actions for Childhood Arrivals program. That's the program, by the way, that us taxpayers are now paying commercial airlines to fly fully loaded planes out of Central America with so-called refugee children and their families and the families of the children who already came at his invitation. There was a letter to Senator Jeff Sessions, she's Republican from Alabama, and Ben Sasse, Republican from Nebraska. It was obtained by Breitbart News. And the Social Security Administration reveals that by the end of fiscal year 2014, the Obama administration, remember that's 4 months ago now, had issued approximately 541,000 original SSNs to individuals authorized to work under the 2012 Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals DACA, that's D-A-C-A policy, since its inception, unquote, in 2012. The administration said it did not maintain a count of the number of individuals who applied but were denied an SSN. You think there were any? Quote, we have long-standing rigorous procedures for processing SSN requests. Under our stringent requirements, SSN applicants must present evidence of identity, age, and work-authorized immigration status. Unquote. SSA Acting Commissioner Carolyn Colvin, another progressive, by the way, wrote to Sessions and Sasse in response to the March 12th request, quote, as with all SSN applications, we review the evidence submitted for authenticity and for non-citizens. We also verify immigration and work authorization status directly with the Department of Homeland Security. Remember, that's the same department that's telling ICE agents not to arrest anybody at the border. Via an electronic process called the Systemic, you can't make this stuff up, the Systemic Alien Verification for Entitlements, the SAVE, S-A-V-E program. it's rather amazing. Now, do you think the next step might be have those people with Social Security numbers vote? You think that might be tied in with this big push in progressive states to have digital voting, like from your house through your computer? Haven't heard about that? We're going to be talking about that in the next few weeks. That's the next coming huge voter fraud. Electronic ballot machines were just beginning of it, folks. And then we have some more Iran fun that's been covered up by the Baltimore stuff. North Korea transfers missile goods to Iran during nuclear talks. Intelligence suppressed by Obama administration. This is the Washington Free Beacon. Great investigative little paper, by the way. Let me tell you about this. North Korea supplied several shipments of missile components during the conclusion of the nuclear talks. The transfers violate United Nations sanctions. Remember, the same United Nations that Obama wants to go to get the Iranian treaty ratified because he doesn't want to go to Congress. Since September of last year, there's been shipments, more than two, of missile parts. Now, what you know, you're, let's say you're developing peaceful nuclear stuff, but you need missiles. Well, let me see if I can put this together. And these shipments have been monitored by U.S. intelligence agencies. As they transited from North Korea to Iran, we did nothing to stop them. It's been hidden from us. In fact, to this day, he's attempted to hide it from us. The details of the arms shipments, however, were included in President Obama's daily intelligence briefings. And the transfers were kept secret on purpose. Geez, kind of like you can keep your doctor, huh? And one of the major deficiencies of this whole Iranian agreement, besides the fact they can just tell us to stick it anytime they want, even if they do sign it, is that it doesn't include missiles. In other words, it doesn't include the means to deliver a weapon. Quote, and if the violations, And if the violations were suppressed within the U.S. government, it would only be too typical of decades of practice. This is by Bolton, you know, our former ambassador of the United Nations. Quote, sadly, it would also foreshadow how hard it would be to get honest reports made public once Iran starts violating any deal. Former CIA analyst for Iran, Iranian Affairs, Fred Flights, also criticized Obama. Quote, while it may seem outrageous that the Obama administration would look the other way on missile shipments from North Korea to Iran during the Iran nuclear talks, it doesn't surprise me at all, unquote. Quote, the Obama administration has excluded all non-nuclear Iranian belligerent and illegal activities from its nuclear diplomacy with Iran. Iran's ballistic missile program has been deliberately left out of the talks, even though these missiles are being developed as nuclear weapon delivery systems, end quote. Now, folks, you don't think this is on purpose? You don't think that that lack of act is a choice? And you don't think that there's an end game? Not only does this man want them to have the bomb, he wants them to have the means to deliver the bomb. And we all know why. Which kind of ties into the Clinton stuff. So now we're finally getting some numbers. Let's see. The United Arab Emirates gave the Clinton Foundations between $1 and $5 million just last year. Saudi Arabia has given between $10 and $25 million since 1999, a lot of it very recently. Qatar, remember Qatar? You know, they started the Iranian nuclear talks. They were the go-between on the five Taliban generals, blah, blah, blah. And by the way, they're also one of the major funders of Hamas, a designated terrorist group and an enemy of Israel. They've given the Clinton Foundation $5 million. Oman, kind of similar, has donated a like amount. And, of course, there's a host of countries that are more aligned with our values, like Germany and Australia. And they, too, have given big sums because they, too, want something from Hillary and Bill. But, you know, we kind of know what Hillary and Bill are all about, just like we know what Barry's all about. What's more scary, I talked about it in one of my previous shows. If we don't have the link up this week, my producers will have it up next week. And we talked about the project. We had Clara Lopez on, I believe, and one of her fellow academics at their think tank. And she's one of the foremost experts in the United States on, shall we say, soft jihad. And the Muslim Brotherhood put together a paper. I mean, it's in writing. What their plan is, I talked about it, I think, three shows ago. A seven-step process to taking over Western civilization without firing a shot. By the way, you know, I referenced Sun Tzu. Remember The Art of War, written 500 years ago by a great Chinese general? I mean, it's really kind of considered the philosophical book of war. Well, Sun Tzu, let me see if I can find the exact quote for you, because it's absolutely classic. Oh, yes. Sun Tzu wrote, this is, I'm sorry, not 500 years ago, 2,500 years ago, in The Art of War. Quote, the supreme art of war is to subdue the enemy without fighting, end quote. I think the Islamic jihadists and the progressives kind of have that down in their unholy alliance, which I've talked about in previous shows also. If you haven't listened to these shows, folks, I really suggest when you have time, even if you listen to parts of them, you do so. It all ties into one big picture I'm painting for you, and it's not a pretty canvas. So did you know that these same countries and Islamic jihadist organizations, including the Muslim Brotherhood, and this is based on a New York Times investigation, you know, hardly right wing. Let's see, let me give you a quote. More than a dozen prominent Washington research groups have received tens of millions of dollars from foreign governments in recent years while pushing United States government officials to adopt policies that often reflect the donors' priorities. Quote, policymakers who rely on think tanks are often unaware of the role of foreign governments and entities in funding their research. Imagine that. So Qatar, go back to Qatar, recently gave $15 million to one of Washington's top think tanks, supposedly to help an affiliate of Qatar in a project on United States relations with the Islamic world. Gee, I wonder what that could be. Leading American universities are taking money from an assortment of Middle Eastern nations. So in 2008, J.P. Green, he's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute. He's head of the Department of Education Reform at the University of Arkansas. He published a list of 14 major universities. They've received $88 million just in the last few years from Arabian Gulf countries. Now, while that money may be small in the amount of the total endowments for these schools, they're pretty significant boosts to Middle Eastern and Islamic studies programs. That's what they're intended to support. Another researcher, Clarice Feldman, he was writing for PJ Media. He dug into the Department of Education reports and he found Georgetown University received a gift of $6 million from Prince Al-Walid bin Talal of Saudi Arabia, quote, to support a chair in the Center for Muslim and Christian Understanding. He also made, by the way, a $20 million gift to Harvard. Oh, what joy. For Islamic studies. And, of course, we have a host of people, shall we say, like Al Gore, who made $100 million from Al Jazeera, who is owned, Al Jazeera, by the way, is owned by the ruling family of Qatar. You see how all this ties in? So, these people are subverting us from within. You wonder why some of these weird policies come out in the Department of Homeland Security, the FBI, the CIA, you name it. It's not only the Islamic sympathist tendencies of our administration and Valerie Jarrett and their advisors that we pay for. It's also this direct money contribution. And it's also the money contribution to the Clintons. It's all one big fun package. And to tie that in a little bit more for you for the Clintons, let's go over Hillary's stance, shall we say, on Islamic-type things. We know what she did in Libya, and we know what's happening there. We know what she did in Yemen, and we know what's happening there. We know about Benghazi. We know about the Russian reset. Russia is now supplying uranium to Iran and very sophisticated anti-aircraft batteries to protect their nuclear facilities. And, of course, Russia is also involved with China and the Asian Bank and a host of other things, attacking the dollar as the reserve currency of the world. So we know about all that stuff. And that's, by the way, it's just tip of the iceberg of all the wonderful things she did as Secretary of State while she was taking hundreds of millions from all these foreign governments. By the way, did you know that one of their outfits, let's see, what is the name of that? It's pretty interesting. Let me see if I can find that for you, because it's kind of fascinating. Anyway, the name of one of their outfits, which right now I can't find in my notes. I got so many notes all over the table here, you can't believe it. They are in bed with that billionaire out of California whose sole mission in life is to stop the Keystone Pipeline. Now, remember who has to approve all the studies on the Keystone Pipeline before the president okays it, which he's not going to do anyway. But his reason is because he wants us to keep shipping money over to the poor, downtrodden, colonial victims, brown-skinned people out there in the Middle East. That's his shtick. The Clintons just want to get money. That's their shtick. So they're in bed with this guy who's contributed umpty-ump millions to them while she's Secretary of State with the Department of State in charge of approving the Keystone Pipeline or approving the reports. There are no coincidences, folks. None at all. But in terms of Hillary's other Islamic-type policies and implementations, acts and lack of acts, number one, she wants to close Gitmo. She wants to move the combatants to the USA where they should have access to her legal system. Number two, she wants to eliminate the monitoring of suspected Al-Qaeda phone calls to and from the USA. I mean, that's remarkable. Number three, she opposes pulling the passports of Americans that have gone over to fight with ISIS. Number four, she supports the Iranian nuclear deal. Wonder how much she got paid for that. Number five, she wants to grant constitutional rights to enemy combatants captured on the battlefield. I guess our soldiers are supposed to read somebody their Miranda rights when they take them prisoner. Number five, she wants to eliminate... Gee, I wonder why she wants this. You guys will laugh. She wants to eliminate the monitoring of money transfers between the suspected Al-Qaeda cells and supporters in the USA. Do you think that has anything to do with her foundation? The $2 billion that she's funneled through these foundations? Well, that's $2 billion that we know through her primary foundation. Who knows how much, because there's at least 1,100 donors and donations they haven't reported, how much she's gotten through her other newly discovered, covered up by Baltimore mess, 13 foundations. Rather remarkable. And all this brings us to the TPP. That's right. This wonderful trade pact, this NAFTA on steroids, you know how good that's been for us. The Trans-Pacific Partnership. You really think it's about free trade, folks? You really think it's about keeping jobs here? You really think it's something about creating more business in the United States? I think you know better. So, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, it's been in the works for years, okay? Much of the agreement's been hammered out. There's 11 countries that are in it. The Obama administration says all these agreements are classified material. They affect millions of jobs, all sorts of manufacturing base, cyber warfare and espionage, which we're getting our butts kicked in. Listen to my shows over the last few weeks. And Obama wants Congress, without anybody seeing what the deal is, including the American public, he wants Congress to give him fast-track authority to finish the job. A negotiating blank check, so to speak. And whatever he comes up with will be a done deal unless there's a supermajority of Congress that votes to stop the whole thing. Vox.com had a really good description of this. The TPP covers a bewildering range of topics. In addition to conventional trade issues like tariff rates, it includes language on labor rights, environmental laws, global warming, and climate change, copyright and patent protections, e-commerce, state-owned enterprises, corruption, well, Hillary should love this deal, and government procurement. Trade deals like the TPP have grown so complex because the global trade community has finally figured out how to solve a problem that has bedeviled philosophers and political leaders for centuries, how to craft an international agreement with teeth. The WTO's, this is the group that's putting this TPP together, dispute settlement process, which serves as a model for the TPP, puts pressure on countries to actually keep the promises they make in the trade deals. That's why everyone with an agenda, from wealthy investors to drug companies to labor unions, environmental groups, all the friends of capitalism and freedom, are scrambling to get on the bandwagon. But the complex, secretive, and anti-democratic way the TPP is being crafted rubs a lot of people the wrong way. The agreement will have profound and long-lasting effects on the countries that sign on, yet voters in those countries, including here in the United States, won't even be allowed to see the text until the negotiations are over and it's too late to make changes. Gee, kind of sounds like Obamacare. Kind of sounds like everything he does, actually. No wonder so many groups, the AFL-CIO, civil liberties groups like the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the free traders at the Cato Institute even, have been raising concerns about it. Gee, you think? Economists compare the TPP to NAFTA, the North American Free Trade Agreement. That's now 21 years old, by the way, folks. If you look at NAFTA, kind of giving you a comparison, and you look at what NAFTA has really done for the United States, number one, the United States now runs a huge trade deficit with Mexico and Canada. It used to be a surplus. Number two, about 1 million U.S. jobs, manufacturing jobs, permanently left the U.S. for Canada and Mexico. And number three, U.S. exports to Mexico and Canada actually grew slower under NAFTA than at any time previous in our economic history. That's not a coincidence. And finally, under number five, 1 million Mexican corn workers. Listen, it's amazing how these things affect people and these elitist progressives don't care. After professing their love and admiration and support of the people. 1 million Mexican corn workers lost their jobs. That prompted many of them to cross the border and take American jobs. In other words, it's all tied into immigration plans of the progressives also. It's really, this is such a tangled web, folks. NAFTA on steroids. And that's what, by the way, former Labor Secretary Robert Reich, R-E-I-C-H, says. Not what I say. So, the Electronic Frontier Foundation, which, by the way, they do great work defending civil liberties in the digital realm. Here's what they had to say about TPP, because it affects the digital realm. I mean, this is a comprehensive and really scary deal that's shaping up. TPP raises significant concerns about citizens' freedom of expression, due process, innovation, the future of the Internet's global infrastructure, and the right of sovereign nations to develop policies and laws that best meet their domestic priorities. In sum, the TPP puts at risk some of the most fundamental rights that enable access to knowledge for the world's citizens. I'm going to interject here. The elites don't want you knowledgeable. We all understand that, right? Let's go back to the quote. The U.S. trade rep is pursuing a TPP agreement that will require signatory countries to adopt heightened copyright protection that advances the agenda of the U.S. entertainment. Gee, Hollywood, support for Obama, money to Clinton, amazing. Entertainment and pharmaceutical industries, more money to Obama, $80 billion for Obamacare to get it passed so there wasn't generic drugs, etc., etc. Industries' agendas, but amidst the flexibilities and exceptions that protect internet users and technology innovators. The TPP, and here's where net neutrality, remember that got passed just a few months ago? Everything has a purpose, folks. Everything is tied in. This is all part of a plan. These people, our enemies, are brilliant. Net neutrality didn't just happen. Net neutrality needed to happen to get the TPP done, which gets a bunch of other things done. The nudge factor, as Cass Sunstein, the great regulatory progressive, who was the czar, regulatory czar for Obama, wrote in his own book. Quote, the TPP will affect countries beyond the 11 that are currently involved in negotiations. Like ACTA, the TPP agreement is a plurilateral agreement that will be used to create new heightened global IP enforcement norms. Countries that are not parties to the negotiation will likely be asked to accede to the TPP as a condition of bilateral trade agreements with the U.S. and other TPP members, or they will be evaluated against the TPP's copyright enforcement standards in the annual Special 301 process administered by the U.S. Trade Rep. All right. So, you know, we know the Hollywood studios are in there, the pharmaceuticals are in there, the unions are in there, the immigration groups are in there, the environmental... Do you really think anything good is going to come from this, folks? Really? Wow. And you know when all this is going to come down? This is going to come down right after the 2016 election. You want to bet? I'll bet you. Because nobody's going to want this coming out before the presidential election, particularly the progressives who are pushing it. So it's up to you to tell your neighbors about it. Just like it's up to you to tell your neighbors about all this news. Iran. Immigration. The real story in Baltimore, i.e., Sharpton being sent by the president to protect the mayor, to stir things up, to create division, or foster existing division for political purposes. Saul Alinsky, divide and conquer. It's up to you to tell your neighbors about this stuff. Refer them to this show. Refer them to a show like it. Get your neighbors informed. We are at a critical juncture in America. And knowledge is power, and exactly why they don't want to tell you about things, because that's knowledge. They don't want you to know about things, because that's knowledge. They're invoking net neutrality to limit what you hear, listen to, and read, which is knowledge. And they don't want to tell you anything about the laws that are being passed in Congress, i.e. Obamacare is just one example, or the TPP that we just talked about. They don't want you to know. It's your job to know, and it's your job to make sure everybody you know knows. This is Reed Lance Rosenthal on the right side. You have a great week.